Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, gift-stealing, woo!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing. Limousine right, jet flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Woo! The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, exactly 1 o'clock. Killing it today. Don't want to hear anything about the clock from anybody.
Look at that, right on time.
Clock worries. What are we here for? 1 o'clock, baby. Let's go. We got a loaded second hour. And we got Swags Plums coming up in the final hour. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, people want to dismiss the spring stuff. And I'm not telling you the game's great. It's mostly pretty terrible for anybody.
Sure.
But showing up does matter. And I'm not even advocating for Duck Fan to show up. I'm a Beaver fan. I'm just saying I can tell and I can see the difference on social media and just the vibe versus... How many Oregon State fans aren't even aware there's a spring game this weekend? Right.
I'm genuinely curious to watch spring games. I am. I know that's dumb, and maybe I'm a football nerd in that regard, but...
Well, you are a nerd, and it is a little dumb, but I see where you're coming from to see certain guys.
Like, I'm going to DVR the Oregon one in case there's anything I'm going to miss. I'm going to DVR, I'm sure, the Pac-12 Network will at some point show the Oregon State spring game. I want to watch it. I want to see how Jebbia looks. Like, it's in no way indication of how guys are going to play moving forward. And if somebody has a big spring game, it's like preseason football. It doesn't mean that they're going to go on to have a big year the next year. But I'm always curious what programs are bringing back, whether any new wrinkles or that they're willing to put on film in a spring game, the young guys you get to watch. I like watching spring football.
Yeah. Well, we have a loaded second hour. Let's start with some NBA playoffs. How about the Houston series, huh?
How about that?
Huh? Now, entertaining basketball that's been in the first two games.
I know Portland is up 2-0 on Oklahoma City, but is it safe to assume that our assumption that Utah was a good opponent was fair with the way they've looked against Houston?
Well, my thing was, okay, this is the difficult thing about playoff matchups. Just because Houston is doing this...
I know, it doesn't mean Portland would.
I mean Portland would have done this. I think it's more... solidifies my feelings 2 months ago when I told people you do not want Houston in the first round.
Yeah, that's for
sure. I almost want to go back to the tweets and retweet them because there are people that had Houston ranked number one. I want Houston if you have to play anybody. Good luck with that. Here's PJ Tucker in the post game after their beatdown of Utah last night.
Then I said this and they kind of just messed up my quote, but when we do what we do, I don't think anybody can beat us. And that's a fact. I don't care. We come out every night. We talk. We communicate. And when our two guys get going and they're aggressive, we're tough.
PJ, even with the success you guys had.
Yeah, nobody cares about that question. when they're playing how they can play, nobody can beat them. And I know it'd be very easy to dismiss that and go, well, you guys didn't get to the finals last year. They were up 3-2 against the Warriors.
They were.
I think there's an element to what he is saying.
They were.
Obviously, missing 27 straight threes does not fall into the category of when we play how we can play.
Yeah, that's like OKC level bad.
I have no problem saying this. I'm going to pick them. I'm going to pick them to beat the Warriors this year.
Now, the only thing I'll ask you in terms of concern, it's not a crazy pick. As you mentioned, they almost won the series last year. So, yeah, of course, I mean, they had a chance. If Chris Paul stays healthy, maybe they win that series.
I do.
A lot of people think
they
would have won game seven, right? So the only concern that I would have, and it hasn't been a concern yet, and it usually isn't in the first round because he's just balling out right now, is the James Harden playoff factor. Now, to be fair, we've done this with Damian Lillard. You know, he's had his issues. The numbers have dipped a little bit in the playoffs. Last year was really bad for him, only averaging 18 a game. And so far, he has put a team on his back and carried him to a 2-0 series lead. So guys can change. I don't like the narrative that just because you've been bad in the playoffs in the past doesn't mean you can never up that performance. There is a proven factor, though, with Golden State and the way they play in the postseason, and a question mark of can James Harden do it when they need him to do it the most in a series like that in the second round?
I felt like last year he wore out by the Western Conference Finals, whereas I think, and again, this goes back to how they fell from 2-3 to 4. I think maybe you got a little more energy, and so maybe you don't have that wear out factor.
I've seen people say too that now Chris Paul has a fewer games to get hurt before that series starts.
That's a real thing, right? Though. I mean, he's what, 33, 34 years old?
He always gets hurt.
So, I mean, it maybe it doesn't happen this year for him. I would never wish that upon anybody. He's been a really good player in this league, but there's an element to that where you play him around earlier, you got a chance. Here's where I think the prediction that I gave and where they fall could be. Golden State, I think, falls asleep a lot against a lot of different teams. Houston seems to be the one constant for them. Like, the one rally point for them is the Houston Rockets, right?
Well, now P.J. Tucker says this, too.
Well, they're probably going to blow out the Clippers in Game 3.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Maybe this ages poorly.
I'm betting on that.
But if they're able to take care of the Clippers in 5, but even in Games 4 and 5 themselves, they look a little shaky at times against the 8-seeded Clippers, you're going to get more and more people to go, oh, the Rockets can beat them if the Rockets take care of Utah early.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that they need. Like, it's almost, they look at their opponent, and Patrick Beverley doesn't do this. Houston has the ability to go, well, we're up 3-2 on you guys. If Chris Paul doesn't get hurt, we beat you in 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
We can beat you guys this year. And I think that's the point where Clay and KD and Steph and Draymond all look at each other and go, it's time to lock in here.
Yeah, really?
We're not letting this happen.
No, really? You know who we are.
And I think that's the thing that goes against Houston for that matchup, if that's what it ends up being.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There would be nothing better for the NBA than to have them lose in the second round. I think to have some fresh blood to show that it's not a foregone conclusion year in and year out. Who's going to win? Because we've had that feeling now about the NBA since Kevin Durant went to Golden State and they won back-to-back championships. So to disprove that and have everybody, myself included, who have yelled all year, this sucks because Golden State's going to win, to have them go down in the second round of the playoffs, I think would be awesome. The concern I would have for Golden State, and they've proven they've been able to snap in and snap out of it, but there is always a fear, I guess, in sports when you have to flip the switch back and forth. You know, and I'll use the example of something we've talked about the last couple of days is Tampa. Now, Tampa was the best regular season NHL team that we've seen in a long time, but one of the best regular seasons in the history of the National Hockey League. And their coach came out after they got swept, and he was asking, like, what the hell happened? Like, how do you lose to Columbus and get swept in the first round of the playoffs? And his argument was, part of it, we had nothing to play for the last month of the season. Like, we locked in our playoff spot. We were still going out winning because we were more talented than a lot of teams, but it wasn't high-intensity hockey. We weren't pushing every single possession. We weren't battling our ass off to win plays here and there. And then all of a sudden, you got to click back into it for game one of a playoff series against a team that had been fighting for their lives and fighting for playoff position, and they weren't ready to go. So that, to me, if I'm a Houston fan, that would give me a little bit of hope, is that Golden State is a team that comes in and out. And I think game two is the prime example of that. Like, I like reminding people, they were up by 31 for a reason.
Yeah, right.
They built a 31-point lead
with you there.
Against
yes.
a Western Conference playoff team. Granted, it's the Clippers, and then they blew it.
But I think the reason people reacted the way they did to that loss, because all the national pundits did the same thing, all these pieces about them, right? And it was just negative, negative, negative. I think the reason they did that is because we keep holding this Golden State team to a standard of 2001 Lakers who went 15-1 in the postseason with Kobe, Shaq in the middle of their primes. Or Kobe's
the Warriors of 2 years ago, didn't they go 15-1 or 16-1?
Might have been something.
I'll have to go back and look at that.
What are you talking about? The year they went 73?
The first year with Durant there, because I think they beat the Cavs in 5, if not swept them.
The Cavs in 5s the first.
That
year
was
with
the
Durant.
Kawhi Leonard injury game. So I think they won that series in 5, didn't they? In the conference finals, I think they went 15-1 that
year.
I'll go look at that.
But I'm saying is they're held to the standard of all time great teams: the '86 Celtics, the '96 Bulls, the 2001 Lakers. You want to go early Celtics as well? I mean, there's on and on. So when they blow a 31-point lead, no other team has done that. And I think that's why you get the blowback from, yes, they were up 31, but it's like, Are we going to cement them in as the champions? How many great teams do that?
Right.
There's something to it, right? They might hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy at the end of this year. It's not going to shock anybody. But to just kind of chuckle at these national pundits who wonder about, I think that's a very real thing. It's like, you guys are supposed to be great. And part of this, I think, is Kevin Durant and his indecisions and his non-commitment to the Warriors with this contract and this one-and-one stuff. That plays in, but when you go all-time great teams, like, it's on Instagram all the time, right? It's always on Twitter. It's always a debate on these shows. Would the Warriors beat the Bulls? Would they beat this Laker team? Those teams didn't lose 31-point leads. So, no.
No. The answer is no.
There's an element to people wanting to make the arguments for why they won't, because if you're a great team, you don't blow that lead.
Well, going back 2 years ago, so they went 16-1 in the playoffs. They swept Portland in the first round with only one game being in single digits. That was game three when Nurk came back. They swept Utah in the second round, and by my math, I don't think any game was within single digits. It looks like they won it, but the closest margin was 11 in game two.
Okay.
They swept the Spurs in the conference finals with only one game being within single digits. That was game one. They went 113-111 when Kawhi got hurt.
They were down 20.
They were down, came back one, then they went on to sweep them. And then they blew out the Cavs in game one, blew out the Cavs in game two, won a 5-point game in game three, lost game four, and then beat them in game five to clinch the championship. So they only lost one game that year. And that goes back to my point about Houston being confident is, They aren't engaged and locked in for every moment of every game. They're not on that level of a mission. And I think you have to be in order to steamroll your way to an NBA championship. Now, I'm still going to pick them to win that series.
Sure.
But that would leave me confident that there can be lapses in judgment. There can be guys making boneheaded plays. There can be Kevin Durant getting into it with somebody on the other team or getting a technical, getting tossed, fouling out on some dumb plays that he probably shouldn't have done. Like, they just have those boneheaded moments, and they don't feel as locked in and engaged. And that really has been a season-long thing for maybe it's the reason you pointed to, the Durant free agency hanging over them. Maybe it's a fatigue of being around each other. Maybe it's the pressure that's been on them for 3 or 4 years. But they're not that same juggernaut that they've been in years past.
I also, it's one thing also to lose a huge lead, and 31 obviously historic. They lost it in the midway point of the third.
Right.
If they were up 31 in the second, you know, early second, or maybe even they just got out to a great start in the first, like, okay, it's a lot of time for a team to come back. You don't blow a 31-point lead midway through the third quarter to the eighth seed.
The Clippers.
Who have no all-star.
Hey, easy. Don't bash my boy Gallinari.
I know. Danilo is out there, and he's
balling. Danilo!
But they don't have an all-star.
No.
And you blew it at home by 31. Again, probably going to respond in game three. But I'm going to go with Houston. I really think Houston's going to get by Utah.
How great would that be for the
I don't know
playoffs.
What Utah's doing, by the way. This defensive scheme didn't work in game one. They went right back to it in game two. It's like, stop.
And, yeah, Donovan Mitchell, who was really good last year, has not played well. I think he was 1 of 8 from three last night.
Did you see Harden put Rubio on the floor?
I did, and then he missed the shot.
He missed the shot, which is always funny to me because people go, oh, but it's like, well, if they miss a shot, it doesn't mean anything.
Point. Yeah, and he gave an extra taunt, like an extra shimmy.
He did a shimmy.
And then he missed the shot on top of it.
And some people get outraged on Twitter, and I was like, well, he's playing a game. He's
having fun.
See,
these are your unwritten rules, man. They're all over your sport. Get him out of basketball, all right? You can't screen guys with 4 minutes left anymore.
This is Tim Anderson's problem, all right? Don't put this on James Harden.
I don't need that juju.
We got some more playoff stuff to talk about as well. We got a lot of NFL things to get to. Russell Wilson at his press conference. Josh Rosen has finally spoken. Wants to give you his thoughts on what's going on right now with the Arizona Cardinals. He was also featured in their promo video that released their schedule quite prominently. He's in a lot of their highlights.
He is.
Which is, if you're not going to keep him, it's a very weird strategy there. So we got more to get to. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. Would you be mad if they brought this show back?
No.
Like if they just took all the actors and they did like a let's catch up with where they're at version?
A Boy Meets World edition? Do they
sorta,
have kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did him and Winnie get together?
They did.
In the end? I can't remember how Wonder Years ended.
The dad, I believe, died of a heart attack.
Oh, really? That's sad.
Wayne ended up being some jackass, which I don't think is really that surprising for
That's
most
unfair.
People.
Wayne was a cool dude.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding. The sister had to have ended up being like a druggie, right? Or did she get her life together? Because didn't she? She went off like the deep hippie end for a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the sister. I always
she was the
about
older
the sister.
She was the blonde, and she dated, I believe, Ross from Friends. Wasn't he her boyfriend?
Ross, David Schwimmer was on Wonder Years?
I swear David Schwimmer was her boyfriend.
His early career?
Early career. Let me look it up.
I would be okay if they did this. If you send it around Winnie and, well, his name is blank. The main character.
Yeah.
What is his name?
Kevin?
Kevin.
Kevin.
Thank
Kevin,
you. Right? Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is his name?
Yeah, David Schwimmer was...
he had a nice little role there, huh?
Where did it go? Yeah, he was the boyfriend of the sister.
I always felt like the mom was secretly doing substance abuse.
A drug addict behind the scenes?
I did.
Wow.
Even at a young age, I was always like, the mom's going to do some bad things in the bathroom because she always seemed really stressed.
She did, yeah.
The dad is always angry all the time. Wayne's being a jackass.
Well, that was old America where the husband would come home and just take his day out on his wife.
Where's my dinner, woman?
Yeah, that's the way it used to be. Kevin Arnold was his
Kevin
name.
Arnold, yes. Kevin Arnold, thank you. Thank you. I had a brain fart there.
First episode was, or the final episode was in 1993.
Yeah, I'm going to have to admit, I was total rerun guy.
Ran from 88 to 1993.
I'd be okay if they brought it back.
Bring it back.
Put it on Netflix.
What's Schwimmer up to these days?
Like,
playing lawyers on FX.
They brought Arrested Development back on Netflix.
So it wasn't quite off for almost 30 years, but they did, and it was okay.
Well, and that was always a controversial show, too, because if people watched it, they would tell you it's the funniest show they've ever watched.
It was one of those cult following shows, yeah.
I just watched an old interview with Henry Winkler on Stern, and I don't know why I watched it, but I watched it.
He
was really good.
He's the Fonz.
He said that he's met three geniuses in his life, and one of them was the creator of Arrested Development.
He labeled him a genius.
He said he's a genius. The dude was next level thinking with TV, with comedy, with executing on seasons and episodes. But the weird thing about that is, and again, I'm a guy who probably, I didn't watch a lot of Arrested Development. Everybody watches it, tells you how great it was, but it got canceled so early.
Right. Why would a show that great get canceled?
Sometimes it just doesn't catch on for whatever dumb reason.
Doesn't generate a lot of revenue. That could be it. I think the comparison of bringing a show like this back, when did Roseanne stop airing? That was...
The new one? The Conners?
No. The original Roseanne.
Oh.
I would guess late 90s, right?
Probably 97.
97. So that would be the comparable because they brought Roseanne back. And that ended in, I would guess, late 90s. And Wonder Years ended in 1993. Yeah,
see, the problem is they're counting the Conners show
Wikipedia. Yeah. That doesn't count.
Yeah, I think it's 97. Yeah, 88 to 97 was when it ran.
So that's only a four-year difference, and now Roseanne's back. You just don't have Roseanne anymore.
Well, it's the Conners.
Yeah, the Conners now. Sorry.
Roseanne died. She OD'd on opioids.
She had some issues.
she
had some personal
pills.
Issues in the bathroom.
Yeah, so I'd be okay with that. I think dismissing the remake of certain shows that we loved, we do it too quick, whereas if you just think about it, you're like, maybe that wouldn't be that bad.
I always loved to. He was one of those child actors that it cracked me up when he showed up in other movies. Like when he was the guy in Austin Powers with the mole.
Yeah, mole.
Like, dude, that's Kevin Arnold, man. Like, I know that kid.
Yeah, that's like the kid in Christmas Story.
Yeah, he pops up every now and then.
He's a huge, like, producer, director guy.
He was an elf in Elf.
Right, and he's also in The Four Christmases. He's ticket clerk for the airlines. He's one of John Favreau and Vince Vaughn's guys.
So you got to put him in all the Christmas movies now. That's the staple.
He'll pop up randomly, and you always identify him because his face has not changed at all, and he still has those bright blue eyes. So I would be okay with the Wonder Years coming back because I'm also a fan of bad TV shows, and I don't like people who are TV snobs and pretend every show they watch is exceptional television.
IMDb gave it an 8.3 out of 10. TV.com gave the Wonder Years a 9.1 out of 10.
That seems about right, though.
Now, maybe I just don't remember this, and I should have. Did you know that Daniel Stern narrated it?
Yeah, he was the voice of adult Kevin. Yeah.
Are you talking about Marv?
Marv.
Or Harry, I mean?
Harry? Yeah, whatever one. Yeah, the
From
Wet
Home
Bandits.
Alone?
Yeah.
Daniel Stern, man. Super talented.
I always remember Daniel Stern from City Slickers.
Yeah.
More than anything
City
else.
City Slickers is a good one.
But City Slickers, for us, swag, we miss... We weren't old enough to quite know what City Slickers was until we watched it a little later on in our lives.
Yeah. It was also Brigma.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rookie.
Just remember the scene in City Slickers where his wife walks in and tells everybody at the dessert party that he was nailing the checkout girl.
Bring back the Wonder Years.
I'm on board with that.
I guess is my larger point. We got some NFL things we need to get to. We got also other NBA playoff games. There's a lot of rumors going around because Jared Dudley of the Nets came out and said Ben Simmons is average at best in the half court offense.
Dude, that game is going to be interesting tonight because there could be a fight.
Well, Jared Dudley's not playing.
Yeah, it's going to be a, because that elbow, how was he not, how was Embiid not tossed for that elbow?
Okay, but this goes back to the Shaq Barkley thing. Did you think that was on purpose?
I did.
Because Shaq was saying, because Shaq did this a lot when he played. Because he had a lot of guys that would crowd him and find little advantages.
Yeah, so he would throw an elbow to get him off of him.
Right, but on TNT, he used Barkley, and they actually did an example. And he's like, at this angle, I'm not completely knowing where you're at. I'm just going around because I want to get a shot, and I'm kind of clearing things out.
Yeah, I think with the way that Embiid, maybe you didn't think it initially, but the way he laughed about it post-game, like they asked him about that, and he was trying to apologize. And in the middle of his apology, he started laughing with whatever teammate was up there. Well, I can't remember who it was on the dais with him, but they were laughing about it. If you're going to joke about something like that, I tend to think you did that on purpose.
By the way, Ben Simmons getting mad about that comment. Isn't that pretty obvious, though? Like, you're
Can
not...
Ben Simmons get mad? Does he have...
Yeah, he got mad. Remember, he got mad at the fans for booing him in game one.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is not off to a great start in the playoffs this year.
Okay, so he just, is he pouty?
Yeah, he's a pouty.
He's not an angry, like, spit fire venom, I'm gonna.
What's the generation after millennial? Are they called X or Y?
I don't know.
Okay, whatever
that was Gen Z.
Maybe that's what it is. He's the Gen Z guy.
Yeah.
Because millennials are getting too old now. We need to stop this whole identifying everybody as a millennial that's young. It's now a different generation. So back the hell off the millennial line.
Sure.
He's a Gen Y-er. That's kind of how they are angry. It's like a pouty, passive aggressive, why would you do that? And then they just walk away and they don't want to have any conversations or confrontation. That's how Ben Simmons gets angry.
Yeah, we've had two different instances so far in the playoffs of people getting upset about boos. Because that was the first one in game one, which, by the way, you got your ass kicked at home in game one of a series against the Brooklyn Nets, who were barely above 500.
And, like, and you play in Philadelphia.
Like, what do you expect? Like, okay, like, stop bitching.
It's a city that rewards you, and if you don't play well, they're going to let you know, get your head out of your you-know-what.
You're not the first home team of any sport to get booed in Philly, and you won't be the last.
They booed Bryce Harper in his first game. He struck out the first two at-bats or whatever. A couple of boo birds came out.
And they booed him his first game?
I think there were some boo murmurs in his home opener.
I didn't remember that.
Remember, they won the freaking Super Bowl 2 years ago, and they booed the Eagles in their first game after the Super Bowl. Because they didn't score enough points in the first half against the Falcons.
I do.
So stop complaining. But you also had, did you see that Will Barton got booed the other night?
In Denver,
in game two, they booed him. And when Malone, right, as their coach, came out after the game and said, disappointing, you shouldn't be booing him, that kind of stuff.
But don't play like crap.
And that tends to be like, you lose, you're the two seed, you lose at home in game one, a disappointing performance where you lay an egg. You come out in game two and you're down by 19 points and one of the guys you're relying on for scoring. You know what his line was in game two? Will Barton was 1 of 10, 0 of 6 from 3. He had 3 points.
Didn't show up.
Did not show.
Will, the no thrill.
So I get maybe it's not the best course for fans to incentivize a player to turn their performance around. Like, I understand that, but like, this is the playoffs. You're down by 19. You're staring a 2-0 hole in the face, and you're coming out and going 1 for 10, and maybe you're part of the reason. Everybody else, by the way, in Denver's starting lineup in game 2 had 20 points.
I think that's why I appreciate Embiid probably the most of anybody on that team. I feel like he embraces what Philly is.
A little bit.
You know, like they booed and he's like, we deserve it.
Yeah.
You know, he'll come out and say, yeah, we played like crap. And if they cheer, he's the guy that's like getting them excited and getting them amped. I think if you're a Sixers fan, you obviously want Ben Simmons to turn into what his potential could be. He may or may never shoot, but you hope he gets better. You're putting all of your emotional eggs in the Embiid basket, hoping to God he doesn't get a serious injury.
Yeah, he is your dude. That's the dude you build around.
Yeah.
Because Harris could leave.
Ben Simmons is their CJ.
He is.
We like him.
He can't shoot, though. So you can't build a team around a guy that can't shoot.
But I mean, where we're at as a fan base here in Portland, like CJ a lot and we root for him. And some people like him more than Dame. We're all in. Like, Dame is our dude. And I think that's kind of what Philly is with Simmons and Embiid.
I'll say this, for somebody who loves to make fun of the NBA, and especially the playoffs, because I think the first round series are typically boring and they're too long and like, wake me up when things get exciting. From the get-go, the NBA playoffs have been fantastic.
Yeah.
They've done a good job of roping me in. And even like looking at a night like tonight, like if you told me 2 weeks ago, like you're going to be thrilled for this lineup of basketball, I would have laughed at you and said you're an idiot. But you got Philly and Brooklyn going in that game where I think it's going to get chippy. It's going to be physical.
I'm with you.
Like Embiid elbowed the dude. I think it was on purpose. There could be some retaliation. Sign me up for that. Denver and San Antonio, because Denver finally got the monkey off their back and got a win. But now they got to go to San Antonio and get a win against the best home team in the NBA. And then Golden State, I'm going to take them to cover that 8.5-point spread.
But you're watching that game.
But I'm curious. How are they going to look?
Like, I'm with
what
you.
What if they get off to a slow start in the first half and they're down by five, right? Like if you told me 2 weeks ago, Philly and Brooklyn and Golden State LA will roll you in, you're an idiot. But now I'm sitting here today saying those games roped me in tonight.
I told you Orlando Toronto was gonna be something to maybe tune into, and you call me an idiot.
They
won game one.
They did.
So maybe they win game three. Who knows? By the way, correction here at the Better You Today text line.
Okay.
I clearly don't remember because it was so long ago. Somebody says Kevin doesn't end up with Winnie Cooper in the
end. Oh, they
don't
end up together. Okay. Yeah, somebody made fun of us for
That's
big fans.
That's horrible.
P1 Cody said, how do you guys are fans you don't remember? It's like 20 years ago, man. It is on Netflix now, though, or it was on Netflix for a while, and I used to randomly pop it up before going to bed, watch a couple episodes.
That's an interesting thought by Cody, because there are people that subscribe to it. Like, you say you're a fan, and if you don't remember all the details,
right?
It's like, are you a fan? I am one of those people. I don't remember all the details.
I don't, no. But I remember
I watched the show.
Right.
I enjoyed it, but I don't remember all the details. If I rewatch it, I'll give my thoughts on it.
Maybe we should do that as a show. Should we get together and have Wonder Years watch parties? What do you think?
Let's go live with the listeners out there. That'd
Instagram
be fun.
Live it.
Yeah. Hey, Josh Rosen is speaking up with the Kyler Murray rumors, and Russell Wilson has his press conference with his big contract. We got some NFL shiz to get to next.
I'm uncertain about a lot of things, but one thing I am certain of. P1 Joey Wong.
Yeah.
Y'all know Joey Wong.
Shout out Joey Wong. I just, I'd seen his Twitter in the past.
Uh-huh.
But I saw him today on my Twitter, and I was like, dude, I don't follow Joey Wong, so I gave him a follow.
He is a big fan of the Dirt and Sprague Twitter poll questions.
We appreciate that.
He loves interacting and chiming in with his two cents on whatever takes of the day we're talking about.
Go Beavs.
He sent out a tweet today, and I think we can all be on board with this, saying today would be a beautiful day for a professional baseball game in Portland, Oregon.
Man. Boy, somebody also just texted, this is getaway day. Like, I wish we had getaway day.
Well, and not to, like...
Did you see the Rays thing that I tweeted today?
Yeah, so their attendance has been... Look, and it's not breaking news. Like, nobody cares about them down there. It's always been bad.
They're the best team in baseball with a 47-run differential. It's the best in baseball by, like, 17 runs.
It's pretty damn impressive. They're leading the Yankees and the Red Sox, 14-4. They drew 9,000 people to their game last night.
And again, who did they play?
Where are they playing right now?
Was it Baltimore?
I think it is Baltimore. Yeah.
Well, how many of those were probably rocking a little orange? Just Baltimore fan down in Florida.
O's fans down there on vacation. They had a game the other day too, where they were below 6,000. I saw, because I follow a Rays guy now, because we had him on the show once to talk about the stadium situation.
Steve.
Yeah. And so he'll send out attendance numbers every now and then. Sweet Jesus, it's embarrassing.
I can't tell if he is in on keeping them or if he cares if they lose them. And he follows me, too. And I'm always worried, like, he sees my tweet of, like, just take them already. He's going to get upset.
He's going to unfollow you.
I watched the Oakland game a little bit last night against the Stros.
Yeah.
The Portland Athletics.
The Portland A's.
They got a nice win the Houston Astros last night. And I was, too, watching the attendance as they pan around and... either one of those teams, please just leave. It's not working.
No,
there's not a solution.
Nothing's going to be solved here.
You have support here.
Right.
We have a solution. Sometimes 1+1 = us.
Let's scratch each other's backs. Okay.
Portland Rays, Portland A's. I don't care.
Let's get them both. I still advocate for that. We could put one stadium downtown, one by the river. We'll just be like the new Los Angeles. You pick one AL, one NL. We'll pick which team we want to root for.
Oh, what team would you root?
I don't know. I might go AL.
Let's take
the Rays and the A's both moved here.
Yeah, you don't know.
I would root for the Rays.
You'd choose Rays.
Better run organization, in my opinion.
Really?
I do think so.
Because of the World Series appearance?
I think they're really smart. I think they go about it a great way. A lot of their management team gets picked off by other teams. Dodgers, look at them. I mean, they're a well-respected GM. Where do you come from?
Yeah.
Tampa, right? I think they do a really good job of putting a product on the field every year.
Oakland, though.
I know. Oakland had a good year last year. I get it.
Three years, they're right there in contention.
Two very cheap organizations that don't like to pay any of their players.
Does that change, though, by the way? I was thinking about that, too. If our Portland Athletics truly come here...
What's up, Portland A's?
I don't know how the ownership structure works, so that's probably the biggest question mark here. Do you think we're stuck with the cheap team in either situation, or do you think it turns into something different where the Portland Diamond Project peeps mixed with maybe the same ownership group go, let's open the wallets a little bit here. Let's try to contend.
Yeah, it depends on what the ownership situation looks like. How much of the stake do they still have? Do you have a new majority owner? Do you have new minority owners that step in and put more money into it and want to raise the amount of money that you put into a ball club?
Well, because Russell's sleeping with three chains on in the bed. He didn't strike me as cheap guy.
He just got $35 million a year.
Does he want to be part of a cheap ownership group? Hey, right. Russ, you're cheap.
Right, right.
Probably not.
Yeah, somebody said hashtag Bridge City Brawl. I call it the Bridge City Series. We're on to something here. Let's go. Move them both.
You have a Bridge City Brawl, but before the game, we do a Bridge City Crawl, and we get hammered and go to those games. That could be really fun for our city.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, he had his big press conference yesterday. He was rocking a Sonics jacket, looking good, and like there was this conventional wisdom out there that he wanted and was holding out to be the highest paid player in the NFL, right? What did he end up getting?
Highest paid money, yeah.
The richest contract in NFL history on an annual basis, $35 million a year. Not too shabby,
most
Russ.
Guaranteed as well.
Most guaranteed. Russ says, that's not what he wanted.
I never thought about being the highest paid player. I think I always did believe I'd hopefully be a great winner, though. You know, that's just kind of my mentality. You know, I didn't come here just to make it in the NFL. You know, my goal was to be able to make a stamp. And Bobby and I had many conversations our first year, just, you know, before the season about B-Wags, about just being great, you know, and just being obsessed with being great and what that would be like and what we could do and just proving people wrong.
Does anybody believe the beginning of that clip? Does he want to be great? Yes, I believe that.
Sure.
I didn't care about being highest paid. I just cared about being great. What? Come on, man. Who do you sell that to?
I love the pivot.
When LeBron says the most obvious corny thing, right? Like, we need to be treating each other as equals. And everybody makes a big deal. I always think, who is this for? Who is that cut for? Who heard that and goes, yeah. Yeah, Russ. You're right. Come on, man. Anybody with common sense knows you cared about being the highest paid player. Why can't you just own that?
You know who is a great example of this in sports, and we need to stand up and applaud him, is Rick Barnes. Now, Barnes, Tennessee, and coach of Tennessee, UCLA wanted him. He wanted to go to UCLA because why wouldn't he want to go to UCLA, right? Pac-12's down. It's a historic program.
Los Angeles.
He was asked the other day at a press conference about, like, dude, how did this happen? Like, why did you not end up going to UCLA? And he answered, he said, well, if they could have paid the buyout, I would be there. But they didn't. So I'm still here.
Yeah, so basically, don't be cheap and you could have got me.
The honesty was so great, though, because we all knew he wanted that job and that UCLA couldn't pay for it. So when somebody asked you, Russ, like, what did you think of? Are you excited to be the highest paid guy in the NFL? Why don't you just say, yeah? I mean, I feel like I put in the work. I've been to two Super Bowls. I won one.
Yes.
I'm an MVP candidate.
I'm an all-pro quarterback, like, and they don't win without me. Like,
it's nice to be shown the respect that I'm in the same category, and I deserve to be one of the highest paid guys in the league.
I want to play the first 12 seconds, and I'll cut this off again. I want everybody to just listen to this. He was asked if it was about being the highest paid.
I never thought about being the highest paid player. I think I always did believe I'd hopefully be a great winner, though. You know, that's
hey, bring Major League Baseball to Portland. I don't care, but that's a hilarious
quote. If you're going to be a rich athlete, just own it.
Like, so funny.
I got the highest paid. I wanted to be the highest paid. That mattered to me. I've put in a lot of work. I'm a big community leader here in this city. I love Seattle. Like,
you know,
I reached an agreement. Just own it. I don't think anybody's going to go, I'm burning my Russell Wilson jersey because he owned that he wanted to be the highest paid. I don't know why that matters. And then, like, who buys that answer?
Yeah. You know, our,
I want to meet that person, that human being that goes,
that's right. That's
guys,
my quarterback.
He doesn't care about the money. Were you the same person that texted he was going to take an extremely team friendly deal?
Our contracts are up next year. And I got to tell you right now, Sprague, I don't care about money.
Oh, I do.
I just
you go into those negotiations with that mentality.
I just want to be a good radio host.
Can I get his agent?
That's all I care about.
Can Mark Rogers be my agent?
Doesn't matter. You can pay me whatever, man. I'm just playing for the love of the game.
By the way, what happened to
Hey, yo, Seattle.
Yeah, somebody said what happened to his rapper voice. We lost that one. And
he wasn't wearing three chains.
No, the chains didn't make it to the press conference.
I think
there's
two Russell Wilsons.
Are there? There could be.
What if he had a twin and we never knew it?
Is he like Steve Urkel? Like one's the nerd Stephon and the other one's Urkel? The good-looking dude?
So if that's Russell Wilson and Urkel is Urkel, who is the Stephon alternate rapper Russell Wilson? What's the name of him?
Isn't that Danger Russ?
Danger Russ. Yeah, it's got to be Danger Russ.
Hey, Seattle. Danger Russ.
Somebody said when asked about how he fit, what was it about Sierra, he fell for her purely based on her personality. What attracted you her?
She laughed at my jokes.
She's
it was a done deal from there.
She's,
I could picture Danger Russ with the three chains shirtless by a pool.
Yeah.
And his song is like, big booty women, big booty women. And then he gets out of said pool, goes in the house, goes, is everybody ready for chicken? Huh? We've got broccoli.
Oh, dear Lord.
Urkel Stephon. I didn't think about that. That's a good great one. Comparison.
One wears the suspenders in the high waters, and the other one's good looking, taking girls out on
wearing
dates.
Wearing suits, going, hey, yeah. Hey, ladies.
Hey, ladies. I love that quote. He didn't care. Russell Wilson does not need to be or want to be the highest paid player in the NFL. All he thinks about is being good, man. Just thinks about being good.
I would not. I don't know if I'd want any other quarterback from a leadership player standpoint than him.
Yeah, he's a stud.
I'm never going to stop enjoying
Russell Wilson. No, those quotes Russell are fantastic. Wilson. Also, did you see, by the way, we didn't pull it, but did you see his teammates make fun of him? So he had two teammates. I think it was Richardson and
Tyler Lockett.
Lockett, that's who it was. Yeah. I can't remember who the other guy was, but they did a spoof video of him and Sierra in bed. Hey, Seattle.
Yeah.
And then, hey, Seattle, go Hawks.
Didn't one of them not be able to get through
one
the video?
One of them started laughing too much by the end of it. They couldn't finish it.
Softy also did this the day after. He filmed himself shirtless laying in his bed, and he went,
hey, Seattle, got a good radio show today. Get ready. 3 o'clock.
Oh, Russell Wilson, don't change. Okay, hey, we got some national TV games we found out about yesterday. The schedule release came out. I'm ready to poo-poo all the bad games. I got this ready. One fan base is complaining about not getting more national spotlight, and I have to ask, why? And then Josh Rosen has spoken, the guy who has been at the center of trade conversations now for quite some time for Arizona. He's spoken to the media for the first time. All that's next on Crunch Time on 1080 The Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's Crunch Time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. It's not at the Glorious House of Gaines this morning.
I ain't having that. You got me? I ain't having that.
I'm going to try and go tonight, though. I got to mow the lawn first. Couldn't lawn mowing day. Got to mow my lawn.
Would have been funny if he dropped one of those during the interview today.
I ain't having that. Hey, coming up top of the hour, guys are getting drilled for hitting dingers again, so we got to talk about that.
I don't want to talk about the art of the backflip.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about the unwritten rules thing. That is a conversation that has been carried out far too many times in my life.
Yeah.
I more so want to talk about why baseball doesn't step in to stop the fun or stop the shenanigans against the fun.
There you go. Yeah. What's up with that? So we'll get to that coming up at 2 o'clock. More on tonight's festivities and then Swag's Plums. Of course, at 2:15. Now, how closely did you guys track and analyze the release of the NFL schedule last night?
I saw a few teams because people retweeted, like the Falcons had a Game of Thrones theme. That was pretty cool.
That was probably my favorite one. Yeah. The Carolina one got a lot of attention. They did like a video game kind of theme, which a lot of people liked.
An old school video game, yeah.
But the Falcons one, they did the Game of Thrones, and I don't know if you noticed, but they had a Ram run over a Saints player.
Yep.
In their video montage, and after it happens, it zooms in, and a ref runs up.
And does incomplete.
Waves his hands incomplete. It's like the best troll job of all time.
Well, I think they play each other within a 2 or 3 or 4 week span. So the first one that they said the Saints, it was on a billboard, and the S dropped. And it just said Aints on the billboard before they went to the next game. So they had some good trolling in that one.
Well done.
The Cardinals one was pretty boring.
Yeah, theirs wasn't very good.
I don't know. I appreciate teams that take effort, and some will hit and some will miss. But I think the effort is fun if you're on the internet, and teams that didn't really do much outside of just, hey, here's the link to our schedule. It's like, okay, thanks.
So the other funny one I enjoyed too was the Browns, where they had Dorsey being the old guy not understanding technology, and he had to get faxed, and you got mail alert that the schedule had come in. So I enjoyed that one too. Some of them, though, I always love looking at it and saying this game's going to be good or this game's going to be bad, and all of these is probably going to be wrong because it's based on my perception of the team as of now with no understanding of how good or bad they might actually be in the upcoming season. One team I have seen complain, and one fan base has complained about not being on national TV more based on what they've accomplished the last couple of years, is the Tennessee Titans, to which I ask, have you seen yourself play?
They're the arguably worst watch in the National Football League.
Hand it off to Derrick Henry 48 times and...
Can't wait to watch a thrilling 20-point game.
Oof. They're on Thursday night in week two against Jacksonville, so we get to see that thrilling game again.
Oh, my God.
It's going
down.
Are
we betting the under on the over-under number for that one?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I'll go ahead and already take the under, Bob. Some of the Monday night games, I think Monday night's the one I always look forward to most for the schedule release because that, to me, is still a bigger deal than Thursday night football.
Yeah.
Kind of caps off the week. Week one, the second one is just the icing on the cake because you're footballed out almost at that point. The first one, though, to get Texans at Saints, that to me is a pretty intriguing game.
Sure.
Two playoff teams, Watson against New Orleans. Week two, you get that matchup we talked about. Cleveland at New York is your Monday night game.
Mm-hmm.
You're not on board with that.
I'm going to be on board because I love NFL football.
Sure, but you poo-pooed it. Yeah, but not
well,
as thrilling.
It didn't get me as jacked. Right. It's much better, though, I'll say, than Pittsburgh, New England.
Sure.
I'm more excited for the Jets-Browns game.
Let me bum you out the next 2 weeks after that. So week three, you get Chicago at Washington.
How did Washington get a primetime game with that franchise?
Phenomenal question. The week after that, you get Cincinnati at Pittsburgh.
Did they not watch the Bengals at all?
Week after that, it's Cleveland at San Francisco, so that could be a good game depending on how the teams start.
Well, if Jimmy G's healthy.
Yeah, you got to stay healthy. Then you get Detroit at Green Bay.
That made me mad, actually, by the way.
What, that it's Cleveland at San Fran?
No, because I knew that game was coming.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to take the wife for that one. That's a Monday night game, and I can't take any days off because I'm going to Vietnam.
Right, because your big end of the year trip. Detroit at Green Bay, then you got New England at New York Jets after that. Dolphin at Pittsburgh, Miami at Pittsburgh.
How did Miami get a primetime game too?
I don't know. Dallas at New York.
Sometimes there's a thing in the NFL or any sport really where there's an oversaturation with the iconic stuff, right? Like the Steelers or the Cowboys if they're having a down year. I get it when people are like, how come they have so many? There's other times where the Dolphins get national TV games, and I go, give me the iconic team.
Yeah, no thank you on that one. Seattle at San Francisco the week after that, so you get a little NFC West action. Kansas City at the Chargers, which I believe is the Mexico City game.
Yeah, that's the Mexico City.
So that's going to be at the end of November. Baltimore at L.A.
There'll be more Chargers fans in Mexico City than L.A.
Probably will. Minnesota at Seattle. My boy Kirker's going on the road. New York at Philly. Indy at New Orleans, and then it closes with Green Bay at Minnesota.
Indy-New Orleans could be fun.
That could be a really good game towards the end of the year. One note, speaking of Minnesota, have you seen them get trolled for their tweets the last couple of days? So Pro Football Focus has been like encapsulating numbers from 2018 and ranking guys on certain throws and stuff.
I saw one of these. I didn't see both of them.
They had one. Minnesota had sent out two different tweets. One was that Kirk Cousins was like the second best second down quarterback in the NFL last year, which I just love that specific stat. Nobody dominates second down like Kirk Cousins. And then the other one was, I believe he had the second best numbers in the red zone. Like ratio, completion percentage.
That was it second or first?
It might have been first. It was number one or number two.
He was right there, and everyone's like, oh, cool. Really?
So I clicked the tweet just to read the responses, and it was not friendly, to say the least. So there's your Monday Night Football schedule. Some of those games are boring. We'll end up watching all of them because it's the NFL, and that's what we do. But I love analyzing good or bad games.
Maybe Flores will surprise everybody in Miami. I don't know if I'm going to commit to watching Miami and Pittsburgh.
Miami at Pittsburgh, October 28th. Put you on the record right now. Not watching that game, no thanks.
Yeah, you know what? I'll do that unless Miami surprises everybody with a bunch of randos.
Let's get to this quickly, too. The other bit of note, one team that does not show up anywhere, I don't believe, on any national TV game, other than maybe a Thursday night here or there, is Arizona. And everybody believes they're going to use the number one pick and take Kyler Murray.
Mm-hmm.
what's going to happen with Josh Rosen, right? It's a big cloud hanging over the draft. Well, Josh Rosen finally talked. He has been at minicamp. He's showing up. He's doing all the right things, everybody's saying. He spoke to Sports Illustrated for the first time and had this to say.
I think when people talk about, like, you can't listen to criticism or don't ever read articles, like, you have to be aware of what's going on to a certain extent. So, like, I definitely understand the situation. I mean, it's annoying, but, like, it is what it is. Football is a business, and I definitely respect the higher-ups and their decisions. Like, we won 3 games, and each one of those wins, to me, it felt like we won the Super Bowl. And, like, that feeling is so intoxicating, and that's why I just want nothing more than to be a part of a team next year and have the same opportunities to go out and compete. I think, like, the best advice I've ever gotten in life from so many different people is control what you can control. And whatever decisions are made, it's my duty to prove them right if they keep me and prove them wrong if they ship me off.
Dear Sports Illustrated, playing music, why?
Why? Is that
don't
necessary?
You want this to go everywhere in sports radio and all over the internet? Like, you can't just leave the comments without the random beating of a GD drum?
Also, again, reminded of just simply this is like when you hear about red flags about guys, just chuckle from now on.
That was a great answer.
Because Josh Rosen had that the entire month or 2 months, however long, leading up to the draft of, do you want this guy? Character flaws. Would you want him as your franchise quarterback? He's not a leader. Did he quit on his team? All of this nonsense that guy had to go through. And I truly believe it's the main reason he fell on the draft. Because he had every intangible you would possibly want out of a college quarterback to take him, but he fell a little bit, and that's why Arizona got him. That guy has handled a really difficult situation as perfect as you possibly could. Like, those red flags are way out the window now.
He also, you know, the you kind of read into things when they're in this situation. The whole, I just want to play for a team. He could have said, I want to be a Cardinal and I want to go out there. He just said, I want to play for a team next year.
That's a good thing to say. He knows he's not going to be in Arizona next year. They're going to trade him. He's like, I just want to play for somebody. Give me a chance to win some football games.
By the way, Steelers got more primetime games.
As of now, Sunday Night Football flexes.
I think it was 5-4, right?
5-4.
Yep, 5-4.
Yeah. And flexes. Wait for the flex. Okay? You got to wait for the flex, buddy. All right?
I don't think the true or false had flex included.
Well, that counts as a national TV game. That's count. Sunday Night Football is a primetime game.
I thought it was based on schedule release.
We got to go.
I'll go read the verbiage.
Go see if I said we'll play in or is scheduled for.
Okay. I'll go check the verbiage on that. How far out did they schedule Sunday Night Football?
Well, they schedule Sunday Night the whole way through, but they say once you get to like week 5 or 6, they can be flexed.
Oh, okay.
So the first 4 or 5 are locked in.
Yeah,
after that, they can flex it.
Okay.
Such a weird thing that we're keeping track of. Like a back and forth on true or false.
Oh, I'm going to track that. Let's go.
I'm not giving up on this.
Look, we got to keep ourselves a little amused at times this time of the year.
Somebody texted in, mark my words, New England will give Arizona a 4th-round pick for Josh Rosen, and he'll be the next Tom Brady.
Be a really smart move if I'm New England.
Yeah, use a 3rd-round, because that stock might keep falling. Who knows? Maybe they don't want to get rid of him no matter what on draft night.
But Brady's going to be 42. Oh. Your backup is Hoyer. If I'm Belichick and we don't know what his thinking is, but if he's willing to give up decent pick or a couple picks.
Yeah, let him sit for a year or two.
Hell yeah. Let him learn from Tom Brady.
Doesn't he have 12 or 13 picks in the draft?
Yeah, I think he got a few extras, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Stockpile a couple of those. Go get Rosen. So there you go. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour, we got to get to Swag's Plums. We got some poll questions that we need to answer. We'll get back into the NBA playoffs. Whole bunch. I want to start, though, with guys celebrating home runs and getting drilled for it. What do we make of this? Because it happened again yesterday in Chicago, and it seems to be the story that will not go away. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.